fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program that's dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and Catholic evangelization. Friends, you know, these are difficult and challenging times. We've just come through the political conventions. There's all kinds of upheaval in the world. There's problems in Turkey, problems in France, problems here at home, problems throughout the Middle East. And my experience these days is that lots of people are filled with lots of anxiety about the times we're living in, filled with a lot of fear. And it led me to just reflect on some key passages from the scripture that I want to share with you, because I think in the midst of all of the upheaval that's happening and the trial, and you might say the storm that we're in the midst of, it's clear there's a very intense conflict, spiritual conflict going on in the world today that we're living through. And it does feel like we're just entering something that's probably going to intensify in the days ahead. And it's no surprise, it should be no surprise to us, that once again, the human race attempting to live on its own resources, attempting to solve all the problems of the world without reference to God, with a kind of utopian idea of coming up with all the solutions of how we're going to manage and control society to bring about the goods that we see and perceive, all without any serious reference to God. This is the constant temptation of the human race. It starts in the garden. Humanity doesn't trust God. Humanity doesn't want to follow anybody. The world in the flesh of the devil that work in us often leaves us to be in a place of slavery, in a darkened mind, believing that we can somehow solve all the problems in the world, and whether they're political, social, economic, whatever they are, that we can solve them on our own resources. And if we just step back for a minute and look at the kinds of solutions and the kinds of decisions that have been made culturally over the last few years in particular about fundamental issues in our time, you see that there is really a lack of wisdom, that what's revealed is the empty futility, as scripture says, of a darkened mind, of human beings relying on their own resources, violating the wisdom of God at every level, it seems like, and ultimately coming to decisions that we think will be good, but all lead ultimately to our demise. At the heart of what we're seeing, friends, is a great spiritual conflict. Pope John Paul II described it as the final confrontation. Pope Benedict XVI said that humanity is losing its bearings. Because of what? Because they've pushed the light of God from the human horizon. And when the light of God gets pushed from the human horizon, friends, what happens? Darkness sets in. Jesus is the light of the world. He was the light that shone in the darkness and dispelled the darkness. He brought light to the human race. That is what? The light went on when Jesus came. Who are we? Where have we come from? Why are we here? What's wrong with the human race? What's right with the human race? What are we all destined for? All those big questions were answered in the person of Jesus, God's ultimate man who came to save us, to die for us. Hebrews chapter 2 has a powerful passage that reminds us of the devil's strategy at this time. He wants to lead the world into darkness. He wants to lead the world away from light, the light of Christ, which births faith, hope, love in the power of the Holy Spirit and produces the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, fear of the Lord. These things are present in a human heart that has seen the Lord, that has come to receive the Lord in faith, been baptized, and the church has read the Word of God, living with Jesus on a daily basis, you know, receiving the life of the sacraments, living in the community of God, understanding our life here is short, and understanding where our life is headed, and the purpose of our being here. It's the Spirit of Christ who gives to each one of us a foretaste of what's to come ultimately. And that foretaste is a grace and a gift of the Holy Spirit, who enlightens our mind, who awakens our hearts, strengthens us, and gives us courage. That's what the scripture means by light. We come into a new reality, the new creation, and we don't live under the same passions, and we're not dominated by the same fears and anxieties of the world. We love the world that God has created, this good earth that God has created, but we also know and understand that there's a huge spiritual conflict that is unfolding across human history. And we're never going to have in this world a complete settled peace. We're not going to bring about the kingdom of God by our own resources. It's not going to happen. The Catechism couldn't be more clear on this. Reflecting on the teaching of Jesus in the scriptures about where human history is ultimately headed. Here's paragraph 675 from the Catechism. It says, before Christ's second coming, the church must pass through a final trial that will shake the faith of many believers. It almost feels like, in many ways, we're passing through a kind of final trial. The description like this. Why? Because the faith of believers is being shaken in many places. He said the persecution that accompanies her pilgrimage on earth will unveil the mystery of iniquity in the form of religious deception, offering men an apparent solution to their problems at the price of apostasy from the truth. What is the Catechism teaching us? Before Jesus returns, this trial and upheaval and persecution, which really accompanies the church throughout her history on earth. I mean, it's a suffering church. We're walking with our Messiah, who was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with much grief. What's good for the master is good for the servant. We're not surprised that there's hostility in the world against the Lord and against his anointed and against the church. But the wisdom that Jesus and the apostles have left us, and the Catechism echoes here so clearly, is that one, we're going to ultimately, at some point in history, enter a final trial. It's final because we know we've gone through and we're going to continue to go through trials. But the final trial is going to be a severe demonic attack. And it's possible, literally, friends, that we're living through that final trial. Pope John Paul II described our times the final confrontation. I mean, I don't know that for sure. None of us do. Only God knows. But it feels like it. And remember, the devil's strategy, it's spoken about here in this paragraph. The persecution that accompanies her pilgrimage on earth, the church always experiences hostility and persecution. We've seen some very graphic signs of that. A beautiful priest in France who was martyred at the altar just a few weeks ago. He said the persecution in this final trial is going to unveil a mystery, the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of evil, that no matter what we try in this world, we can't stamp out evil. Why? Because there's something wrong with the human heart. It's not just out there. It's not just unjust political structures. It's not just corruption on Wall Street. It's not just the result of wars. All that we see, friends, all of the result of this mystery of iniquity that's present in the human heart. We're touched by this mystery of iniquity. And that ultimate mystery of iniquity is the work of Satan and the kingdom of darkness. This mystery of iniquity is going to unveil something. He's going to come in the form of a religious deception. He's going to come to say, look, the world's in great conflict, and then there's going to be a particular leader who's going to arise. It's going to be the Antichrist, who's going to have power to bring a world in chaos dominated by fear to a place of temporary order and some measurement of peace. And he's going to say he has a solution to it all. He has a new truth. And following him will be the guarantee that we're all going to live free from difficulty, trial, persecution, and safety. It's a lie. But much of the world is going to be seduced into it. Because they're not connected to Christ. They're not holding on to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to provide a solution to all of our problems, but it's going to come at a price. The price is going to be apostasy to the truth, the denial of the truth about God, about Jesus Christ come in the flesh, about his dying and rising and his victory, his dying for our sins, the cleansing of all our sin through his precious blood, the only way the human race can experience salvation. That's where human history is headed. And I think at different times in history, there's a kind of dress rehearsal of this pattern of the devil's strategy at work against us. Paragraph goes on to say, the supreme religious deception is that of the Antichrist, a pseudo-messianism, a false messiah, by which man glorifies himself in the place of God and his Messiah who came in the flesh. This is the battle, friends, that's in the world, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness. Satan does not want to acknowledge Jesus Christ come in the flesh and the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ because he refuses to serve, to worship God and obey God. And we have that temptation inside us. And so the devil manipulates spiritual powers and in an attempt to lead us into slavery, to come out of the light and the knowledge of God and freely surrendering ourselves to God and walking in his footsteps and loving him. The devil draws us out of that light through temptation and slavery to fear to lead us into darkness. Listen to this interesting passage from Hebrews chapter 2, the latter part of the chapter. It says, since therefore the children share in the flesh and blood, that is, whose children? Jesus' offspring, and share in his flesh and blood. He himself likewise partook of the same nature. Jesus partook of human nature. He put on flesh. He became one of us, right? So that he could die for us. He could shed his blood for us. Here's how the writer of Hebrews describes it. He says that through death, he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Only through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ can the works of the devil be broken. Here's the strategy of the devil now, this passage explains to us. Jesus came to destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and to deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. The fear of death. The fear of death has great power over the human mind and the human heart. Jesus came to break that power. Death is a shadow like that's cast over the human mind and the human heart. It's a disordered energy that leads us to live with anxiety and fear and panic, afraid of being diminished in some way, of losing our lives ultimately. It's a real power. And the devil manipulates that power, leading us into slavery, selling us lies about how we can live in freedom. If we cling to our own power, if we rely on our own resources, if we try to find escape from it through distractions, through addictions, through whatever it is, the striving after money, sex, power, right? Fame, all of it, an attempt to escape our battle against death. Jesus comes to destroy that power over the human heart. And he tells us, the apostles tell us, Paul himself again tells us, you've not been given a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. But you've been given a spirit of freedom, spirit of power, of love, of self-control. That's what I want to talk about this week, friends. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.